This is an interview with Sister Regina Rogers by Donna DeBlasio for the Youngstown State University Oral History Program on the Ursuline Nuns on March 24th, 1975 at 1:40 p.m. at the Ursuline Mother House. Sister Regina, could you tell us a little bit about your family background and your educational background?
Okay. I come from a family of five children. I have an older sister, a younger sister, two younger brothers. My mom and dad were raised in Lowville, Ohio. I spent the first 5 years of my life in Lowville, and then my family moved to Poland, where I went to St. Nicholas and Struthers, Holy Family in Poland, and then graduated in 1967 from Poland High School. My dad presently works at Youngstown State University. He's the assistant administrator in financial affairs. My mom works for anesthesiologists up on Fifth. I don't know the name of the place. My one sister is a nurse. My younger sister works at Mahoning Bank. My younger brother is studying for the priesthood. I had one brother who died a year ago today of bone cancer. I graduated from Poland in 67. I entered the Ursuline community in September of 67. I graduated from Youngstown State in the summer of 1972. And this coming summer, I will attend graduate school at LaSalle College in Philadelphia for a degree in religious education.
What influenced you to enter a religious life?
I'm not really sure. I was always fascinated by nuns. I would never have called myself close to nuns or said I was close to nuns, but I was always fascinated by them. I was lucky enough to have some very fine nuns in grade school, and I think they deeply influenced me, so that by the time I was in high school and thinking of what I would like to do, I always had in the back of my mind becoming a nun, but it was nothing ever vocalized or formal until the summer before I entered, and that's when I, for the first time, admitted that I wanted to do this.
Why did you join the Ursulines?
They were the only community that I really knew. I had had them both at St. Nicholas and at Holy Family. They were my only contact nuns, and the ones that I had, I liked very much. I was very, very pleased with what generous, warm people they were.
Could you describe a typical day when you first entered?
Oh, the first year I entered the convent, we were still very much living the traditional life of a nun, the kind that you sometimes see on television. We got up very early in the morning, I think it was about 5:30, and we had prayers, mass, and then about 8:30 we started college classes, and the day consisted predominantly of college work, house cleaning, and some recreation. And that was very routine. Like, we went to class from 8:30 to 10:30. We had a break till about 10:45. We went to class from 10:45 till 11:45. We had lunch. We recreated till about 3. We studied from 2 or 3 till about 4:30, when we had another class till supper. And then after dinner, we recreated, and we had a study hall, study time at the end of the day, and we were in bed by 9:30, and that was a big relief to be in bed. The day was kind of long.
How has it changed?
Well, probably the biggest change is the regimentation that used to be is no longer present. Our time is no longer scheduled. Once I leave school, that is my only scheduled time, then my time is my own. Whereas my first year in the convent, all of my time was scheduled for me, with college work, house work, things like this. But that's no longer true. All nuns now are much more on their own than, say, for example, 5, 6 years ago.
What have your duties been as a nun?
Well, so far the only thing I've ever had to do, I've done, is teach. I've taught for, this is my 4th year. I was 2 years at St. Patrick's in Youngstown, and this is my 2nd year at Ursuline High School, and that's been it.
What are you teaching at Ursuline?
I teach religion. I teach full-time religion, basically sophomore religion, but that's all, just religion.
Could you describe a typical day at Ursuline?
Typical day at Ursuline begins about, for me, about 6 o'clock when I get up. 6:30 we have prayers and mass. I like to be over at school a little early, so I try to get there about 7:45. School officially begins at 8:15 and the day goes till 3:15. I teach 5 classes a day. I have 1 supervision, that's my cross for the day. I supervise the study hall and then my own preparation period. 3:15, I usually stay over at school till at least 4:30 trying to get work done. I don't like to bring work home. I would prefer to come home and have nothing. So I usually stay 4:30. We have dinner here at 5:15, and then my evenings are my own.
How many hours per week do you put into your teaching and planning for your classes?
On the average, I would say it might not spread out that way, but I probably put in about 2 or 3 hours a day. Since I am relatively new, I spend a lot of time, and if I don't do it like after school, I spend maybe a Sunday afternoon. I'll spend a whole afternoon working on things for the week to get ready.
What type of methods do you use while teaching?
Most of my methods are process. They involve a lot of group work and activity with the kids. The kids seem to enjoy it, and although it's much more difficult than lecture, I think it's for the course that I teach, religion, it's more effective.
Would you say there was any particular discipline problems with the students?
No, I have had none, and I have not dealt with a severe discipline problem my 2 years here.
Is there any special rules or code that a teacher has to follow at Ursuline?
I would say probably the biggest, and I'm sure it's just not Ursuline, but the biggest rule or code that's followed is accountability, trying to be accountable for what you're doing in the classroom with the students. I think it's important that a teacher be accountable, but I don't think that's something unique to Ursuline, but it certainly is stressed at Ursuline. And the fact that Ursuline is a Catholic school and it should have a Christian dimension to its education.
What type of relationship is there between the faculty and the administration?
This year I have found a pretty healthy working relationship. I'm speaking mainly from the religion department point of view because those are the people that I deal most with. But the religion department seems to get along very well with the administration. There's a healthy kind of working relationship. You know, nothing is ever always right and nothing is ever always wrong. There's a real balance. Our principal is, I think, a very intelligent man, a man that's extremely concerned about the students in the school. So I find that makes for good working relationships.
What is the faculty-student relationship like?
Generally, I find that the teachers tend to be concerned about their students, not only what they're doing academically, but if a teacher notices a problem, there's always talking to other faculty, and not in a derogatory way, but talking to other faculty about, you know, the student, to see if anybody else has noticed anything, and then ultimately referral to a counselor or a dean. But it seems that the faculty carries an overall interest in the student body.
Would you say there was some competition among the teachers themselves?
If there is, I would imagine there is. I don't notice it that much. I think maybe I tend to stick very close to my own classroom and my own department during the day. Like I deal predominantly with these people, so I really would have a hard time overall saying, but I would presume there would be. I would presume that we would find that in most any school.
How would you say the administration itself handles the school? Liberal, conservative, middle?
I would tend to say that it's middle conservative. It's tending over to the conservative, which probably is, when you're dealing with a student body of over 1,500, I think it would have to be that way. Schedule-wise, though, we are leaning toward the liberal in the scheduling of the students and the classes. But as far as dealing with individual students, we still abide by, you know, dress codes and gum-chewing rules that are still in effect here.
What would you say about the quality of the education? Do you think that it prepares the students to face what's out there, the outside world?
That's a tough one. I think we'd like to say we are. Very definitely, I think we are an academic school, and we are training, I think, our college-bound students very well. Now, the students who have no intentions of going to college or who could not make it in college, I worry about those students and our preparation of them for the outside world. Hopefully, we are giving them a good foundation to meet the challenges in the future. But I would worry, again, I would worry about this non-academic student and what he is receiving at Erskine.
Who would you say some of your outstanding colleagues are at high school?
Right off the bat, the first one that I would mention is the head of the religion department, Father Daniel Van Glerik, who is, first of all, a very intelligent man, secondly, a very capable leader as far as the department goes. Ursuline then has some very fine teachers. I'm thinking of Mr. Terry Grimm in the English department, Mr. Anthony Costarella in the math department, Mr. Jim Hernan in the social studies department, Mrs. Von Schulich in the English department. These are people who have been at Ursuline for a while, and you find a great involvement with the students.
Do you have any other comments about Ursuline High School?
Just that I think Ursuline High School is a fine school, and I feel honored to be here.
Could you describe special occasions among the Ursuline sisters and how it perhaps are celebrated at Christmas and Easter?
Well, all of our special occasions center around... All of our special occasions always center around community. Christmas has always been my favorite, Christmas and Easter, simply because of the emphasis on community. There's always the liturgical celebration, which is emphasized a whole lot, mass, prayers together, which is always emphasized a great deal. And then just the things that the nuns themselves do, like there's always parties and presents and things like that that make it something, an exciting time, a time that you look forward to. It's just not a common day, Christmas, Easter. They've always been my favorite.
What years of your religious life stand out and why?
My third year in the convent stands out. That was the year that I went down to Walsh College to study only philosophy and theology. That's all I took. Probably I remember that year because it was the year that I was getting ready to take my first vows. I liked the courses, and that's what interested me so much in religious education, because I loved the courses in religion. Before that, I had always wanted to be a history teacher. I think I still would like to try that someday, too. But it was just an exciting time because I lived in anticipation of August and first profession, because that was a momentous occasion in the life of any nun, and certainly the nuns in the community displayed that excitement and engendered that excitement in me. And then I think the year before I came to Ursuline, well, the few months preceding my coming to Ursuline, simply because I was a nervous wreck. I wasn't really sure I wanted to do this, but in the end, things worked out.
When a girl takes her vows, is there any type of special celebration?
Right, at the Mother House, it's always a very public thing. there's a mass with the bishop present and her family, and all of the sisters gather that day, and then there's a reception afterwards. It's a real time of support and acceptance for a nun, for a young nun in the community, because even the older sisters who might not know her will send little notes and cards congratulating her, and you really feel, probably then more so than any other time, a member in the community, a worthwhile member in the community.
Could you describe the ceremony?
My ceremony began, first of all, with a procession and with the bishop, of course, Bishop Malone. The mass proceeded. A novice wears a white veil, so the very first thing that happened was I exchanged my white veil for a black veil, the sign of profession. And then a candle is always given, signifying, you know, the light of Christ is the light of your life. And then from there, the mass proceeds up until right after the homily, when the nun goes forward in front of the whole congregation and pronounces her first vows. And then the mass continues on. The mass is planned by the nuns themselves. It's the musicians that day are the nuns themselves. The choir is the nuns themselves. So it becomes a real community affair.
What things do you know memorable about the mothers or mother whom you served under?
Well, I'm under my second one now. Mother Edna Marie, the first mother superior that I entered with, the one thing I remember about her, she was the one I signed up under to come into the Ursuline community, was her patience, and, you know, she just had such a very feminine way about her, you know, darling, dear, very concerned that you understood what you were doing and that you were all set and everything was fine. I always felt kind of daughterly to her. Our present mother, Superior Sister Mary Conroy, is probably the nun in the community that I respect and admire the most. She was my English teacher for my whole first year in the community. I respect her not only for her intelligence, but her dealings with me. She was part of the formation team, the team that gets young nuns ready to take vows, and I always felt a very special closeness with her, so I'm real pleased to see her as the mother, as our mother superior.
What other sisters that you're with do you think are outstanding?
Well, the one that I love is Sister Imelda. She is she's been in the community about 48 years now, and she was always so kind to me when I lived at the mother house. Always a pleasant word, a little gift, a little note, but always something that you knew that she was thinking about you. One of the nuns that I live with now, Sister Mary Ann Coase, a member of the Department of Religious Education, I find an outstanding person, a truly dedicated person. And then my good friend, Sister Margaret Mary Mangetti from over at St. Patrick's, she and I are very close, and I respect her for being such a principled person, a very kind, loving, caring type person.
What unique things do you remember about any of the convents that you've lived at?
The only convent that was really unique was St. Patrick's, when I lived at St. Patrick's on Oak Hill. The convent was three houses put together, and there were little ramps up, and the floors were uneven physically. There were only five of us in the house, and so it became a real home. It was, the five of us got along very well. It was a very pleasant experience being at St. Patrick's. That's the one house, the one community house that I remember living in and enjoying very much my 2 years there.
What changes have you noted within the order from when you first entered to now?
Oh, my, probably most obviously are clothes. When I entered, the nuns were still very much covered, long habits, the headpieces that covered all the hair. That's the most impressive change. But I think there's a whole, almost a whole change in attitude these days. In the past, I think nuns respected the rank. You know, a nun had been in 25 years, a nun had been in 30 years. And when you reach certain points in your religious life, and maybe you didn't do any more housework, or, you know, something happened. But now, because of the lack of nuns, it has become much more of a unifying thing, nuns working together. There's no one in the house who does not do anything now, simply because there aren't that many to do everything that needs to be done. So everybody kind of contributes. I think that's a major change that I've noticed. People don't feel that they can just sit back and watch others work or do. I think, too, in the past, it was when you reached a certain age, retirement and all this, and now nuns are going on as much as they can, or they're physically able to. I think the spirit of service and dedication, at least to me, seems much more prevalent than it had in the past.
Why do you think it's difficult to get modern women to enter religious life?
I think one of the reasons is commitment, insofar as the age for people committing themselves to something lifelong has really markedly gone up to, you know, 24, 25, 26. And once they lose contact with the nuns, like our nuns, once people would leave high school, would have very little dealings with the nuns. I think the carryover is one factor that would influence the non-numbers coming into religious life. Secondly, I think the changes, the turmoil itself that religious life has faced in the last 10 years, for some is very frightening. You know, they see nuns leaving, they read about nuns doing all kinds of things in the paper, and becomes a very frightening thing to them, because they're used to seeing nuns as, you know, the secure group, you know, the group that will always be a certain way, and that's not true. I think that could be frightening for them.
What do you think is the future direction of the Ursuline Order?
I see the Ursuline Order still maintaining their unique interest in education, but I see them, that education, branching out into all areas. No longer will education only mean the classroom. I think the service that the Ursulines give, although it isn't as much simply because of the numbers, I think will be quite noticeable within the community, within the Catholic circles, within the Youngstown community itself, as women, professional women, educated women, women who have something to contribute to mankind.
Do you have any other comments on the Ursuline Order?
None.